Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocket Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. And unlike that hockey team you cheer for down the block, we know how to start a show, and we know how to start strong, and we know how to go a full 60 in all the hard areas. That's why we are the Renegades of Puck, and that's why you jump in the trenches with us each and every game day, live at 5 or whenever we feel like taking over this radio station. And we sure do have a lot to talk about, Renegades, between what happened last night and where this team is heading. We've got a lot to discuss. And the Renegades of Puck are all in the trenches this morning with me. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Welcome in. Mastrodamus will be coming up in the second period. We'll be talking about what's going on between the pipes and all things Nashville Predators. Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck will be bringing you the intel that you need to know. Ryan Bastin's got some numbers or a rant or something. We'll figure out what he's got by the end of the show. The Ultimate One is going to try to get you all fired up, but I don't know what we can do after last night. Your Nashville Predators are now in sixth place after 23. Three games played on the season. They have a record of 10-13, 20 points, a home record of 7-6, and Fort Bridgestone is not the impenetrable fortress that it once was. Now, if the Nashville Predators drop game 5 of this 5-game homestand, they will have an even record of 500 at home on the season and a terrible road record at the beginning of a huge season-defining, or some would say season-ending, road trip, as the Nashville Predators on the road are only 3-7 on the season. When you take a look at the opponent for the Nashville Predators, game 2 of this 2-game set, the fourth time these two teams have met this season, the Florida Panthers currently sit in third place after 22 games skated. They have a record of 14-4-4. They have 32 points. That has them 1 point behind both Tampa Bay and Carolina. And by the way, if you happen to look at the standings from the 30,000 foot view and look at the entire league, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Florida are number 2, number 3, and number 4 in points overall in the NHL at this point in time. That goes to show you what the Nashville Predators are dealing with as far as the opponent and the competition. On the road, the Florida Panthers, simply impressive. 7-1-1 on the season. They have scored 72 goals and only given up 64. The Nashville Predators, thankfully, because they have played the Florida Panthers and have managed to score a bunch of goals against them, now have 55 goals on the season. That number is absolutely abysmal. They've given up 73 on the year. And for the Nashville Predators, once they wrap up this game against the Florida Panthers, tomorrow they will be taking on the Dallas Stars. So that would be Sunday afternoon in Dallas. Then Tuesday, the Carolina Hurricanes. And then again, another game at Carolina before heading off to Tampa Bay for two more games. This really is a murderer's row of Central Division competition for the Nashville Predators, and as good as it felt to beat up on the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings just a little bit, now you know how it feels to be on the other side of things, as the Florida Panthers last night imposed their will at Bridgestone Arena, just like the Carolina Hurricanes did the previous game before that. And it really is amazing to see Tampa Bay, Carolina, Florida, how strong all three of these clubs are right now, and how good the 2-3 matchup in this Central Division playoff bracket is going to be. Tampa Bay is going to be sitting there in wait for whoever it is that comes out of that one as the survivor. I wouldn't be surprised if the Stanley Cup champion comes out of this Central Division again this year, just like it did with the Tampa Bay Lightning last year when it had a different name and we had a much different alignment across the NHL. I mentioned what the Nashville Predators have coming up. Well, in the season series, they will have four more games against the Florida Panthers after this. The 18th and the 20th, the Preds will be in Florida. That's this month, so that's coming up as a part of that next road trip on the 26th and the 27th of April. That's when we'll see the Florida Panthers back here at Bridgestone Arena for the final time. And to recap the season series in game one of this 8-game regular season series, the Nashville Predators all the way back on the 4th of February. It was a 6-5 overtime win. Forsberg, 2 goals and 3 assists for 5 points in that one. Duchesne, also 2 goals, easily his best game of the season. The Preds were able to come back and benefit because of Joel Quenneville's failed challenge in that one. That same scenario will come to play when we recap the most recent game. The Preds would fall 2-1 to Florida in the following game. Rene would go 34 out of 36, and Sissons would score the only goal. Of course, last night, as you know, and what we're here to discuss and break down, the Preds fell to Florida 5-4 on home ice. Pekka Rinne, of course, with UC Saros being injured, getting the start, 33 out of 38, and I felt like he never had a chance in this game with the way the Nashville Predators started. Forsberg had a goal and 2 assists. He gets 3 more points against this Florida Panthers team. Somebody sure does like to feast on the Panthers. Ekblad, though, for Florida. My Lord, what a game for him against the Preds. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, and he was just undeniable and unstoppable. And for those of you who have not been familiar with that player in the past, well, you certainly know quite a bit about him now. Injuries, you know what's going on with this team. There's a lot. Duchesne, we don't know. Something happened with him last night before the end of that game. We heard from John Hines in the post game. He said that he wouldn't know something until either later in the evening or early in the morning. So we'll have to rely on Sean C. Smith and on theforecheck.com to help keep us updated throughout the morning on Matt Duchesne and a potential injury. Of course, Ryan Ellis on injured reserve, another 2 to 4 weeks. UC Saros, I already mentioned, is day-to-day. Lukanen is out, and Lucas Spezza, I just mentioned his name. I don't know why he played one game this year. He's been on IR ever since, but I just mentioned his name because he is officially on the injury report. The NHL ranks for these clubs. For the Nashville Predators, it is difficult to find any statistical metric where they are, where you can make an argument that they're a good team. Goals for is 28th in the league at 2.35. Goals against is 3.17. That's 26th in the league. Now, shots for, you say, well, they're 5th in the league in that. But shots for 32.3, it's a nice-looking number. But what does it actually mean when you've only scored 55 goals in the entire season? You're getting more quantity than you're getting quality, and that's where you take the next-level look inside those numbers and say, that 5th ranking, yeah, it looks good, but is it really what it appears? And it's not. Shots against, the Nashville Predators 11th in the league, giving up 29.5. And this is really where it all starts to fall apart. The power play for the Predators had been on an uptick recently and managed to get themselves into the middle third of the NHL. They're 20th in the league now, 18.2%, 14 out of 77 on the season. And the reason you hear that distress in my voice is I'm talking about the power play. Yeah, I get it. They're 20th in the league, but a 5-on-3 for a minute and 45 seconds? If you don't know, you will in just a minute when we get into the game recap. But if you can't score on a 5-on-3 for a minute and 45 seconds in this league, you have no hope. You have no hope. The penalty kill for this Nashville Predators team is 29th in the league and has been damn near dead last the entire season. 70.1%. That's abysmal. 23 power play goals against. That is the last in the NHL. Listen, this ain't personal, okay? I'm just giving you the numbers and I'm telling you how it is. I wish the Nashville Predators were a better hockey club than they are. It would make this show better. It would give me more listeners. It would make business opportunities easier for me as the host of this fantastic radio show. And it would make the life of the Renegades of Puck a lot easier so they wouldn't have to distress trying to figure out exactly what it is that they're going to complain and rant about coming up on the next show and coming up on this show. So for the Nashville Predators, look, Preds fans, you know, it was fun beating up on lesser competition, but now that they're taking on the gauntlet of the top three, they don't stand a chance out there. And with one game to go on this homestand, all the good that they did to beat Columbus in the back-to-back to start the homestand and pick up those first 4 points, well, now they've dropped the next four, and I don't have a lot of confidence in them being able to pick up any points in the next game to close out this homestand. If they leave town with a 500 record at home, I wonder just how bad that road record will be when they return. Florida Panthers. You take a look at their numbers and you saw their team up close and personal last night. Maybe you'd forgotten, or maybe you just didn't realize when the Preds faced them early in the season just how good, how strong, and how quick Joel Quenneville had turned this team around and made them a contender to face off against teams like Carolina and Tampa. This is an impressive team. In goals for, they're 8th on the year at 3.23, and goals against, they're 13th in the NHL, 2.82. They generate the most shots on net per game at 34.7, and they had plenty of them last night. Shots against, they give up 30.9 per game. That has them down at 20th in the league. And that power play for the Florida Panthers, plenty of talent out there. 17 out of 64 on the season. That's 6th in the NHL, or a conversion rate of 26.6%. Their penalty kill is 18th in the league, 77.8%. Duclair still listed on IR, and Juleson still listed on IR as well. The division schedule, Friday we'll see Tampa Bay take on Chicago. Saturday we'll see Columbus in Dallas. The Stars still in last place, but just because they played so few games on the season, still the Dallas Stars, the only team with under 20 games played in division. They've only played 18 as of last night. And with every team being on the ice last night in the Central, what did we see? As expected, the top of the division absolutely beat up on and pummeled the bottom of the division. And I expect that to continue the second half of the season. And we are quickly approaching the middle point of the season for this Central Division. As a matter of fact, the Detroit Red Wings have already played 26 games. Columbus has already played 25. So very, very quickly getting to that middle point. Last night, we go take a look. It's game 4 out of 5 of a homestand, and it is the third time the Nashville Predators have faced off against the Florida Panthers this year. Your line combinations, and some good news as I read these line combinations. Forsberg, Granlund, and Tolvanen. I have some commentary on Mikael Granlund. This experiment with him as the first line center, it's not working out. His production has dropped. He was doing a lot better when he was on the wing and perhaps when he was on the second line. I don't mind him being on the first line, but I think he needs to go back to wing, and I think you need to stop trying to showcase him, because while you're trying to make his stock go up, you're making his stock go down. And if David Poile tries to call another GM and says, you have a first line center named Mikael Granlund, they're going to laugh and say, I'll offer you second line winger production coming back. That's exactly how it is. That's how it's going to go. And the Mikael Granlund at center experiment needs to come to an end very quickly. You have actual centers on the roster. They need to be playing that position. Yarn Croak, Duchesne, and Grimaldi make up your second line. Cousins and Ryan Johansson back in the lineup for this game. Missed one game on the COVID list. We did not know what that meant. If he was going to be out for an extended period of time, obviously they were able to resolve the situation, testing, all of these things. Johansson back in the lineup for the Preds. Arvidsson makes up the rest of that line. Halla Richardson also back in the lineup. We haven't seen Richardson in a while. As a matter of fact, I forgot what he can even do out there on the ice. So it's going to be good to watch him, well, win a bunch of faceoffs in this game and, frankly, be rather effective as a fourth line center. Colton Sissons rounds out your fourth line. Yossi and Fabro, Harper and Ekholm. Borowiecki back in the lineup, and Benning making up the third D pair. Pekka-Rinne, of course, getting the start because of the injury to UC Saros in the previous game. 17 seconds into the first period, it's Roman Yossi with a turnover in the neutral zone that leads to a chance off of the rush by the Florida Panthers. And that's it. Here we go. Everything that we said that this team needed to do, it's undone. 17 seconds and the captain gets picked clean at the neutral zone, and Florida's already off and running. 1:19 into the first period, Rinne comes way out to stop Hornquist off the rush. Sometimes knowing your opponent and your former teammate really helps. You don't see Pekka-Rinne come out of the net that far very often, at least not at this point in his career. When he was younger, yeah, athletic, dynamic, trying to be all over the place, he'd get outside of his crease quite a bit. He doesn't do that anymore. Comes up with the save right here. 2:15 of the first, Rinne a save on Marchment on a 2-on-1, and then a 2:44, Pekka-Rinne's fifth save of the first period. First time he touches it with the glove. It was clean. Sweet hockey Jesus, we're 2.5 minutes into the game, and the Florida Panthers are already outracing the Nashville Predators. 5 shots on net. 5:41 of the first period. Yossi feeds Sissons on the back post. Sissons can't jam it home. It was a good-looking opportunity, a sharp-angle pass, a good setup. Colton Sissons can't finish. 6:29 of the first period. Verhaeghe's got his 8th goal of the season, putting Florida on the board with a 1-0 lead. Ekblad drives the net from high, blows past Tolvanen, puts the puck on the net, and there's Verhaeghe. It's the jam, and then it's the jam, and there were 4 Predators that had a front row seat to watch this thing happen. How in the world does one Florida Panther outwork 4 Nashville Predators defenders plus the goaltender to get the opportunity? Pekka-Rinne did everything he could do. Where was the support? 1-0 Florida. 9:01 of the first period, Marchman's got his first goal of the season, giving the Florida Panthers a 2-0 lead. It was Roman Josi being out-battled at his own defensive blue line. We saw just the previous game how a much smaller Victor Arvidsson was able to stand up Svechnikov as he was coming across the blue line. Big open ice hit, dislodging the puck. Impressive. We talked about it on this show. Roman Josi has the opportunity to take his man out at the blue line along the boards. He loses that battle, and he loses that battle badly as it leads to a 2-on-1, and Marchment decides to take the shot. Why not? He did all the work. He earned it. He gets his first goal. 10:19 of the first period, Pekarinen has a save on Hornqvist, and an athletic follow-up secondary rebound save. Pekarinen is giving what he can out there, but he's not getting the support that he needs. At 12:36, Benning takes a deflected puck to the nose. He gets a little bit of a leaker, heads off to the locker room, but everything would be all right as he would return to action shortly after getting patched up. Hockey players, you know, it's just what they do. Florida at this point controlling the entire game. Every shift seems to generate scoring chances for the Florida Panthers. And no matter what the Preds seem to do, their counter punches just don't seem to have nearly as much weight as what Florida is doing. So we hit the end of the first period. It's a 2-0 lead in favor of the Panthers, and they're out shooting Nashville 17-10. This game could have been much worse by the end of this first period. Into the second period, hopefully the Preds with a fresh sheet of ice and an opportunity to turn things around. But 31 seconds in, there's Pekarinen having to come up with another huge save, and this time it's on Uyghur. 59 seconds, not even a full minute into the second period. We warned you, Huberdeau, his 9th goal of the season. He has had one great year. Hornqvist makes the pass from below the goal line to Huberdeau in the low slot. You know, we've all watched Patrick Hornqvist for the most part his entire career. A lot of us have continued to follow him after he left the Nashville Predators. And to think Patrick Hornqvist behind the goal line did not go for the stuff attempt, that might be what caught everybody off guard. Perfect pass, perfect setup. Huberdeau was ready in the low slot, gets the shot off. 9th goal, Florida up by 3 early in the second period. And just like against the Carolina Hurricanes, the Nashville Predators find themselves down by 3 before they start to generate, frankly, anything. At 1:13 in the second period, Cousins gets a slap shot. Arvidsson gets some hard crash, and he burns. Gets taken out of the play. Was he tripped by Forsling, or was it just incidental body contact? I don't know, man. It was a really nasty fall. When Patrick Hornqvist even takes some sympathy on you in the corner, you know it was a nasty spill. So the Predators unable to score right there. Good job by Cousins getting the puck on net with the traffic crashing hard. 4:25 in the second, Arvidsson. He's up. He's back. He's hustling. He's got a shot from the top of the circle with Cousins and Johansson setting the screen. Cousins gets high-sticked as the whistle is blowing. And now I've got to go back to the previous play and say, was Arvidsson tripped by Forsling? I kind of think so. And I'm kind of thinking I'm seeing a tendency from this Florida Panthers team to be a little bit over the line here at certain moments, but they're not getting called for it. So they're going to continue doing it. That's the way things go. At 4:38 of the second period, we see Pekarinen make a glove save on the breakaway on Lusterainen, and it is an impressive save by Pekarinen. At 6:46, we see Lemieux go off the box, 2 minutes, 4 slashing on Colton Sissons. It was Richardson getting a chance on the continuation, and a very good scoring chance it was. While the Preds are on the power play, we see Wennberg go off the box, 2 minutes for a puck over the glass. This leads to the Nashville Predators having a 5-on-3 for a minute and 45 seconds, and why in the world it took so long to figure out what this penalty was, or listening to like 9 different Florida Panthers complain, made absolutely no sense. All it did was hold off on the drama of this 5-on-3 getting started for a minute and 45 from the Nashville Predators. Here's their opportunity to get back in the game. And what would we see? Tolvanen would get a wrist shot. Yep. Tolvanen would get a wrist shot. The passing was poor. At one point, a touch pass attempted in the slot area just to nowhere. We hit a 5-on-4. It's only 15 seconds. Tolvanen gets another chance. I mean, good job by Tolvanen out there trying to get something going, but where the hell was the power play? Where was this thing we've been talking about trending upwards in recent games? A 5-on-3 on home ice for a minute and 45 seconds, and you don't score. Okay. I wonder if this will come back to hurt you. 12:23 of the second period. That tower of power, Matthias Ekholm's trade stock is just rising through the roof. His 4th goal of the season is an absolute bomb from the blue line. Bobrovsky never had a chance. I doubt that he even knew that that puck went by him until it was in the back of the net. Matthias Ekholm, since coming back from injury, is just highly impressive. I am going to miss watching him play. He has all of the tools, all of the skills. Last night, you saw the heavy bomb from the blue line, and it was impressive. The Nashville Predators are on the board. Panthers up 3-1. 13:31 of the second period. Petrano hits the post off of the rush. Then at 15:27, Roman Josi, he's off to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking. I didn't think this was necessarily a great penalty call, kind of a soft call. Overall, though, I'll give the Predators an all-right PK. Well, why? Because Florida didn't score. So that was good enough for me at this point in the game. 17:30, Sissons off to the box. Yeah, 3 seconds after the Predators kill off the previous, Sissons is off to the box. 2 minutes for hooking. At this point, I wrote it down as Hornquist originally. I know that later it was gone back and credited to Ekblad. Ekblad takes the shot while Hornquist was setting the screen and setting the jam. There was a lot of discussion on the broadcast whether Hornquist perhaps high-sticked Pekarinen in the shoulder area while going for the puck that was in the air. I believe if you challenge that, there's no way that they're going to make that call. There's no way they're going to reverse anything. Hornquist, I thought, got the last touch before it goes in, but it's not my problem, and I don't care. I'm not the official scorer, and the Nashville Predators find themselves down 4-1. Ekblad ultimately credited for the goal. 19:35 of the second period. Philip Forsberg gets his 10th goal of the season. It was Victor Arvidsson shooting and Forsberg deflecting. Get to the hard areas, get your stick ready, and put the puck in the net. Philip Forsberg knows exactly how to do that. We've got a 4-2 hockey game at the end of the second period. The Nashville Predators are being outshot 30-25. The Florida Panthers already have 30 shots on net. We go into the third period, 1:58 of the third period. Rocco Grimaldi looks like he's got the goal, making this a one-goal game for the Nashville Predators. It was multiple chances, and finally, it was Grimaldi slamming the puck home. I mean, this puck got behind Bobrovsky, went off a post, went off his body, might have gone off another post, slid around the goal line, got pushed out, might have gone in right there. Ultimately, it works its way all the way around to Grimaldi, who slams it home. Unfortunately, for the Nashville Predators, we saw Joel Quenneville use this rule and not apply it very well in the first meeting of the season between the Nashville Predators. This time, the challenge for offsides would be a go. No goal for the Nashville Predators. It was, in fact, Rocco Grimaldi offsides on the zone entry. So Grimaldi disallows his own goal for offsides. At 4:29, Rene comes up with a huge save on Barkov at close range. 5:44, Bobrovsky save on Arvidsson on the doorstep off of a great Matthias Ekholm feed. At 7:03, Pekarinen multiple saves in close. Florida actually starts the scrum after the whistle. That's right, you heard me. The Florida Panthers, up by 2 goals in the third period, drive the net hard and start scrumming it up, pushing and shoving the Nashville Predators. They're up by 2. They've got 4 on the board, and they're shoving you dumbasses around out there on the ice. You look silly when stuff like that happens. 8:25 in the third period. Borowiecki's off to the box. 2 minutes for interference. As quickly as we welcome him back into the lineup, we quickly welcome him back to the penalty box for another bad penalty. Ekholm comes up with a save here on the rebound. Does that raise his trade status even more? Coming up with a save on a rebound opportunity. Sissons blocks a shot, but then it's Ekblad getting his second goal of the game, his 8th of the season. That's a snipe from the slot off of the rush, and the Florida Panthers now up 5-2. Colton Sissons then gets his 4th at 12:40. Richardson, nice to see him back in the lineup. Really impressed from the faceoff dot, and he picks up an assist on this Colton Sissons redirect again. Much like Philip Forsberg, he gets to the hard area, he gets his stick ready, and he puts the puck in the net behind Bobrovsky. We've got a 2-goal game again. At 14:30, Roman Josi's off to the box. 2 minutes for slashing on Gudas in the offensive zone. Gudas took 2 runs at Roman Josi in the zone. I thought both of them were clean. Yes, they were right there on the line, but that's what it looks like when you're going after star players. And I never heard a Nashville Predators fan complain when Jordan Tutu took an offensive player to the woodshed 2, 3, 4 times in one shift running all over the ice. Unfortunately for the Nashville Predators, and a really big blunder by the captain of the Preds, Forsberg would go on to score a goal in the continuation, but unfortunately, Roman Josi, with a very weak retaliation slash, gets called in the offensive zone. So when Forsberg touched the puck, the whistle actually blows. The goal is disallowed. The Preds fail on this opportunity. 18:47, Johansson's got his first goal of the season. He kicks that rebound up to his stick and puts the puck in the net on the 6-on-5. Once again, hard area, gets puck, stick down, puck goes in back of net. We've got a 5-4 hockey game, but Florida closes this thing out without much happening. 38:35 is your final shots on goal, and I wrote this list down right here. A slow start, a 5-on-3 fail, Grimaldi offsides, Josi retaliation. How many game-breaking mistakes can one team make to shoot themselves in the skates before the end of this thing? the Nashville Predators failed to start a yet another hockey game. Everyone on that broadcast absolutely befuddled, perplexed, and I actually got nervous for you Preds broadcast over there when I saw on my TV Terry Crisp between Hal Gill and Chris Mason at the end of that game. I was worried that you were about to have some really strong no-half-stepping opinions from that trio right there. For the Nashville Predators, it's simple. They failed yet again to accomplish the things that they continuously tell us that they are going to do. They continuously tell us they're going to come out there and they're going to start the game from the beginning and they're going to jump in the deep end and they're going to give you a full 60 and they're going to go to the hard areas. It's all nonsense at this point. The youth movement's only coming because there are injuries. So far, no player movement, roster movement, tenority. Okay. That wasn't really that big a deal or a big surprise. Even if the Preds were having a good season, Tenorti might have found themselves out of here. This Nashville Predators team must salvage what's left of this homestand. You've undone all the good you did by beating Columbus. Now you've lost two in a row and you've got the Florida Panthers one more time. If you lose this game to the Florida Panthers, an even record on home ice with a murderer's row road trip coming up in the Central Division. The ultimate one's going to try to get you all fired up, but even he is having trouble finding the silver lining right now.
So ever since the game ended, I've been going back and forth with what I want to say today. And to be straight with you, I don't know. I know Charlie gave me a couple of ideas, reworking a little bit of Dusty Rhodes' Hard Times promo and talking about how the Predators have put hard times on the city of Nashville, Daddy. Or even going so far as to go back in time a little bit after the Hard Times promo and get a little bit of Mick Foley talking about Kane Dewey. And even I myself thought maybe about going a little bit more modern times and testing out a little bit of a pipe bomb. But really, what I'm feeling is just pure confusion. I don't know whether to celebrate the fact that we didn't give up in the third period. I don't know whether to bemoan the fact that we didn't show up in the first period. I'm feeling almost like Jake the Snake Roberts when he's talking about playing blackjack. And you got 21? Well, I got 22. All kinds of confusion. I don't even know what to do at this point. Ekholm and Forsberg are amazing stars that we may never see again come the end of this season. I don't know whether to celebrate or whether to blow it up. Preds fans, maybe you can help me out a little bit on this one. I'm so lost. I don't know up from down, left from right. Cats and dogs living together. Total confusion. I know I'm hungry. I know I want this team to keep feeding me more. But I don't know if they're feeding me good stuff or if I'm going to be fed more of the same, just horrible play after play and then be fed good. I don't know. Preds fans, hit me up. Hit me up and tell me what I need to feel right now because I am struggling. I'm struggling. I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go over here and I don't know what to do.
Hi, this is Beckerin of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Of course, you're listening on 560 AM and 95.9 FM all the way across Middle Tennessee and beyond. 107.9 FM helps us get down into Rutherford County, into Coffee County, beyond on the I-24 corridor. And of course, we love our listeners on 103.9 FM in Drakesboro, Kentucky, helping us out. Get all around into Clarksville and other points. You know, WNSR.com streams the show completely for free, and you can listen to it right there. And we do appreciate if you would check out that website. Also, WNSR.com offers you links to our previous shows, 500+. Also, you can find our merchandise and check it out right there. We make quality t-shirts. They don't fall apart. They look good. They feel good. They wear good. So please support WNSR.com and get that WNSR app. Take the show with you anywhere in the universe. Pekka bringing us back from break right there last night. Because of UC Saros being day-to-day, there was really no choice but to put Rene in net. He goes 33 out of 38 and takes the loss in this game. Here to talk to me about his performance in all things Nashville Predators hockey is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He is, of course, Mostradamus. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm going to try to keep it PG, Charlie. How are you?
I'm not good. Pekka Rene last night, 33 out of 38. Mosh, it's a simple question. Did he ever have a chance in this one?
He was under siege from the word go. I mean, Florida, you could see early on in that game, and I even tweeted it out, this game could get very, very ugly, and quite frankly, it was ugly until Florida took their foot off the gas pedal, and again, as per usual for the Preds, they made it a little bit interesting by the end of the game, but it just makes it more infuriating, if you ask me. Rene did what he could. The game should have been 4-0 after the first period. You saw the frustration by Crispy at the first intermission. You certainly saw it after the game as well, but it's not fair on him. And here he is probably playing his last season, and it's going to be a complete waste. And unfortunately for him, he's backstopping a bad team right now.
Mosh, I don't even really know where to go to. I mean, I'll point out a positive right here. I mean, there's Philip Forsberg. He had a goal last night and 2 assists. That's great. 3-point night. Had another goal that ends up being disallowed because of the captain not being able to maintain his composure at a critical moment in the game. On the season against the Florida Panthers, it sure does seem like Philip Forsberg enjoys playing against him. 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points in 3 games. He didn't even have a point in the second game. So at least we can look forward to Philip Forsberg in the next game, hopefully putting up a bunch of points against this Florida Panthers team. At least talk to me what you saw from Forsberg. 20 minutes, 2 seconds time on ice. That led the team 5 shots on goal. That also led the team. And guess what? He also led the team in hits with 2. Mosh, talk to me about Philip Forsberg.
Well, he does everything out there. I mean, he's a complete player. You know, you can kind of harken back to a Peter Forsberg, of course, no relation to how he played the game. Incredible offensive talent, but he was physical as well. He played in all zones and was a monster on the ice, and that's what Forsberg is right now. He's a point-per-game guy, which we've been begging for him to be more consistent with his scoring, and we know he's a 40-goal scorer. He has that potential. He has the skill set to do so, and here he is right now putting up incredible numbers. And again, unfortunately, much like Rene, is that his efforts are going to go completely to waste. And who knows if he's a trade. If you trade Forsberg, of course, you're talking obviously full-on rebuild, and who knows what kind of return you can get for him. But typically when you trade a player of this talent in his prime, it doesn't matter what you get in return, you never quite make up for that loss.
Mosh, if they trade Forsberg, we might start covering the Seattle Kraken here on this show. I'm just telling you that right now, because there wouldn't be a whole lot for me to look forward to here, at least in the next couple of seasons. Victor Arvidsson did pick up 3 assists, and he did have 4 shots on net, and I've been very critical of him. As a matter of fact, I said he fell off a cliff just yesterday, so I got to go ahead and give him the stick taps and give him the credit this morning. Mosh, what did you see out of Victor Arvidsson that gave him the ability to have a 3-assist performance last night?
I think we need to call out individual players more often. It seems like every time they do so, they do something positive in the next game. So, I mean, good on him to finally get back on the score sheet and contribute offensively. He definitely showed some more of the RV hustle that we've missed here over the last year or so. Not sure what has happened with him, if it's a mental thing, if physically he's not quite all there. But certainly it's good to see him being the Arvidsson that we all know and love, the 30-goal scorer that we know he is. But again, not on a consistent basis. Kind of seems to come in waves for Arvidsson right now. And again, it's hard to talk about. I'm really not in a positive mood to talk about it. I was like, okay, he did something great, but congratulations, you went, 10 games without a point, let alone a goal. So nice to see, but all in all, again, not enough.
No, you're right. You're right. More consistency is the critical component to that. I just wanted to make sure he got a little bit of respect from us here on the show for the performance he put up. Those assists were all coming from pretty far away on that one, but we did see him willing to go to the hard area. And Mosh, just a quick side note before I move on to the next topic. This Florida Panthers team, clearly they are designed to try to take on Carolina and Tampa Bay later on in the season in the bracket. We understand that. We see that, and it's heading on a collision course towards that. This Florida Panthers team, though, with Gudas and with a couple other players out there, they got a little bit of a nasty streak that borders on crossing the line to a dirty streak. High sticks, slew foots, trips. I saw a lot of stuff going on out there, Mosh. What was your opinion of that with the Florida Panthers?
We saw that with them. I think it was in game one as well down in Florida. The Panthers are not afraid to play that way. And when you have a guy like Joel Quenneville who has the pedigree that he does, especially come playoff time, you need that nasty streak in you. And when was the last time we could say that about the Nashville Predators? You went in the Stanley Cup final. There was no nasty streak really in them. They worked hard and they were undermanned because of injuries and whatnot. They made a good run, but you need guys like that in your lineup. I know people are like, oh, the analytics of it, you know, you don't need a goon out there. It's like, no, you don't need a goon out there, but you need somebody to be a physical presence when things do get out of hand or when you think that the other team is taking their liberties out on some of your star players. You need somebody out there to back your guys up. And for the Predators right now, outside of somebody like Olivier and Trennan, who continues to be a healthy scratch, for God's sakes, there's not really anybody in the lineup that is willing to do that for you.
And look, those hits by Gudas on Yossi, that's exactly what coaches and fans absolutely preach and crave. Take the star players, make them pay a price, take them out of their element, take them out of their game. And if Nick Cousins had been doing that to Ekblad last night at Bridgestone Arena, everybody in that building would have been jumping out of their seats talking about how great and amazing it was. So don't flip it around just because it's against your star player and your captain and think that there was some sort of egregious offense. The egregious offense was the captain not understanding the situation and taking a weak-ass retaliation slashing penalty, which should never happen. Not to say the Nashville Predators were going to come back in this game and win this game. I didn't have that level of confidence. But at that moment in time, you cost your team a goal and you took yourself a bad penalty on what was, frankly, honest, good hitting in hockey. Jordan Tootoo used to run around the ice knocking guys on their asses all over the place. And we used to jump up and down at Bridgestone Arena. But all of a sudden, Gudas hits Yossi and it should be a game misconduct, a suspension, all this other stuff. Stop. Just stop with that. Mosh, I got to get one more topic before we preview game two of Florida. Mattias Ekholm. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because this Tower of Power's trade value is absolutely rising. I don't know if it can get much higher than it is right now. We saw a goal last night. We saw an assist. That bomb from out there on the blue line, you know, reminded me of Shea Weber. And at other times, he reminds me of every other defenseman that this Nashville Predators team has ever had. He has every single tool. I love Mattias Ekholm. I'm going to miss watching him play hockey here in Nashville. Mosh, talk to me about Mattias Ekholm.
He's been an absolute monster, and I've said for years that he is the most complete defenseman on this team. That includes Roman Yossi, that includes Ryan Ellis, that included Seth Jones when he was on this team, that he's the most complete one out there. He has everything, like you said. He has all the tools to be a top-pairing defenseman. It's funny because it seems like every time I see Ekholm score, I'm thinking of David Poile up in the press box tapping his fingers like Mr. Burns saying, excellent. I mean, every time he scores, it's like, drive up that price. What else can I squeeze out of a contender that's going to pay for his services? I know there's been a lot of talk about the Philadelphia being a destination for him. Honestly, I think he may be following the footsteps of Craig Smith out in Boston. Boston, I think, is going to make a big push for him. They're in a cluster of four teams out in the Eastern Division, separated by 3 points. Hell, they claim Jarrettson already off waivers, Charlie. So that tells you all you need to know about how much they need help on the blue line. But I think somebody, if you want to look at a return, Jake DeBrusk would be a nice addition. He's got 24 years old, left winger, scores 45 to 50 points a year on a normal season. So I think get him, maybe another prospect on top of that or a draft pick. But back home, yeah, I'm with you, Charlie. I'm going to miss having him around, and I know it's inevitable that he's going to be traded unless David Poile just decides that he's going to do the let him be exposed in the draft. I think that'd be crazy, but we've seen crazier things before. But yeah, it's going to be sad to see Ekholm go.
Mosh, in my dark humor moment last night when he puts that puck in the net, I screamed, "I'm getting traded to a contender!" And I just couldn't help myself. I really couldn't. Oh, and by the way, David Poile, you know, he's going to look at that Bruins roster. He's going to find that there's an American-born winger that played collegiate hockey. Impressive kid. You know, he put up 20 goals, 5 straight seasons. Watch. Craig Smith will be traded back to the Predators with a draft pick for Mattias Ekholm. You just watch, everybody. Just watch as this show completely goes nuclear at that moment. Mosh Bobrovsky. He's been terrible this season. That contract is an albatross around this Florida Panthers team. However, he picked up a win last night. Talk to me about your expectations. Will we see their number one Driedger in the second game? What do you expect out of the Nashville Predators? And how in the world are they going to turn this thing around? I know that's an impossible question, and you don't have enough time to answer it. So just preview game two.
Well, I definitely think it's going to be Driedger in this game tomorrow afternoon against the Preds. Bobrovsky, as we saw, you know, barring, again, technicalities, but again, you have Yossi with the penalty, the dumb slashing penalty that Gudas completely no-sold. They didn't even phase him. That takes away a goal that should have counted. And, of course, the offside or Grimaldi, again, I don't understand. It seems like it almost always happens just with the Predators where a guy is, you know, going across the blue line. He just decides to go a little bit early with nobody on him, nobody pushing him forward. And it seems to happen every single time with the Preds. But Grimaldi, bad mistake there to be offside. So that's a couple of goals that, you know, maybe they scored 6 goals against Florida last night. But Bobrovsky, he's been bad. That's a terrible contract anyway. And even if he was playing fairly well, he'd have had to be Vezina quality for that contract to be worth it. And they're going to be in trouble with that. But it's going to be, again, Pekka-Rinne again tomorrow afternoon. You're going to ride him again day-to-day for Saros. We'll see how it goes. But I don't think we're going to see back a goaltender
Gus Swola anytime soon, but Pecorino is going to have his workload, and then when Saros is healthy enough, we're probably going to give him some chance to gain some of that ice time back. But what are they going to do? I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit more low scoring. I think that's their only chance in hell to have a chance against Florida. I know the high scoring games have been exciting against Florida, but they need a low scoring game. They can't compete, especially if Drieger's in net. It's not Bobrovsky in there who's given up at least 3 goals almost every time he's out there.
Remember the last time these two teams played, game 2 was a much different low event hockey game compared to game 1, which was a 6-5 overtime winner for the Preds. Then it was a 2-1 win for the Florida Panthers. I anticipate a game much like that. And Mosh, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. The team's going to come out slow. They're not going to look very good to start. They're going to ultimately get their skates under them around the midpoint of the game. They're going to score a couple of goals in the third period, and we're going to hear about how they're this tremendous comeback team with a bunch of fight. And then afterwards, they're going to say, well, you know, we know what we got to do, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it this next game. And it's going to be wash, rinse, repeat. They're going to have a 500 record when they leave this homestand and go on the road for a murderer's row in the Central Division. I have no idea what this team is even going to look like by the time they come back to Nashville. So we'll be here to talk about it, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. It doesn't make a difference. The Renegades of Puck will always be in the trenches talking all things Nashville Predators hockey, and Mastrodamus will be here doing that in the second period. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's a man so far in the future, he's told you what's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Florida Panthers tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Mosh, you know how much I appreciate you, man. Thanks for bringing it strong and bringing some good opinions today.
Charlie, anytime. We'll do it again next week.
Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck. He's coming up next. He's got the intel that you need. And ontheforecheck.com, you guys need to be checking them out. Outstanding website. We've had a great partnership as far as website and radio show for many, many years, going all the way back to the very beginnings. Dirk Hogue, I think, posted the first ever interviews that we did here on this radio show back in the first versions of On the Forecheck and the first versions of Predneck Nation Radio. We've all evolved quite a bit, and I'm looking so forward to hearing Sean C. Smith's opinions. I know he's got a lot to say. Coming up next, right here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matthias Ekholm of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm going to be so mad when I can't use this bump anymore. I'm going to be mad. Matthias Ekholm last night against the Florida Panthers, a goal and assist, 4 shots on net, 27-14 total time on ice. That led the Nashville Predators. His trade value, his trade stock is as high as it's ever been. He can do it all. He's the total package of a defenseman, and if I had a contender, I'd be reaching out to get him, and I'd be paying whatever price that David Poile wanted, even though you could probably talk David Poile down. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. You heard from Mastrodamus in the second period. Now, let's go on with the Renegades of Puck here into the third period from On the Forecheck. You heard me plug him before the break. It is Sean C. Smith. Find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. Throughout the day at SCSOTF, we'll update you on the intel. He is there on the front lines for us, and he's handling his business. He's got a lot of things to say this morning, so let's get right into it. Sean, that first period last night, what a snooze. When Pekarinen had to make 5 saves in the first 2.5 minutes and Roman Josi and every other defenseman got caught flat skated, it was really a disappointing start. Talk to me about that first.
Oh, I'll tell you, you know, Ekholm called it out after the last game when he said that they shot themselves in the foot in that first period. And you saw the same thing happen last night. And, you know, realistically, I'm not going to say that they aren't trying, but for some reason it takes them getting behind to get them to play with some serious jam. And, why is that happening? You know, if you see an unusual play on the ice or a different configuration or just something new, you know, strategically, I can usually tell you why they're doing it. But this is something different. I mean, it's not injuries. Injuries plagued the team when they were on their way to the Stanley Cup Finals. And you can't say that team ever stopped trying. I mean, do you think maybe it's the drag of COVID? I mean, maybe. But I still think, you know, you're seeing a team that's still struggling to find and stick to its identity. You know, that identity that Ellis said at the beginning of the season, that they wanted to get back to being the team that outworked every other team. And, you know, I see some good work out there. And the problem is no one remembers how hard of a worker you are if you don't show up to work on time. And so when you fail to come in that first period and just lay it out there immediately and just take it to the other team as hard as you can, then you're setting yourself up to have to work even harder for the rest of the game. And while it looks good, it's not absolutely necessary. But when you end up losing the game doesn't go the way you want it to, everybody can go back and point to the fact that you showed up late for work, and that if you had just been there at the beginning, you might not have had the same issues.
Sean, sadly, the identity of this team is a slow starting, special teams underperforming, 500 team on home ice that doesn't have any direction whatsoever, and I am very concerned about the next stretch of games for this team. But of course, we'll take them one by one and we'll comment on them as they come. That 5-on-3 last night, you're in the NHL, you've got a 5-on-3 for a minute 45 seconds. The Florida Panthers absolutely gifted you the second one, putting the puck over the net. Why it took almost 2 minutes to go ahead and make the call and figure it out, I will never have an idea. But the idea that Tolvanen on the 5-on-3 had a wrist shot and then it goes to the 5-on-4 and Tolvanen gets one more scoring chance, the passing was sloppy, it was not crisp, and when you have a 5-on-3 and you don't convert, I mean, Sean, I don't even know what to say. You go ahead, take the topic.
Yeah, I said yesterday, the big weakness, if there is a weakness for the Panthers, was that their penalty kill is below league average. You needed to get onto the power play, put them with a man down, and take advantage of their one rare thing that they don't do as well as everything else, and really try to just make sure that when you do get those opportunities, that you're taking advantage of them. And you know, that's at a 5-on-4. This is a 5-on-3, and a 5-on-3, you know, you talk about a disadvantage. You got three guys out there. I mean, they can't even – I mean, you're just trying to stay close and make sure nothing gets through. But it should be just continual artillery fire for the duration of that penalty. But it seemed like the penalty or the power play of old, where we just kept taking forever to get set up in the zone and see something we liked. And we were more worried about passing the puck around and trying to find a lane to get a clean shot, when in reality, everything Hines has said before about, you know, using your shooting from the back to try to disrupt coverage, that's where that comes into play, is take a shot, get the puck in there, get a rebound. There's only three guys that can do anything about it. If you can't take advantage of that, that's bad. And the problem is, no one, you know, penalty should be the bellwether for the season. But when you have a 5-on-3, and not just a 5-on-3, but for a full minute and 45 seconds, you should expect a goal. And that did not happen.
It hurts me more, Sean, because I saw what this power play could do in the last couple of games between Forsberg and Tolvanen. I saw how they could capitalize. I saw how they could move the puck, and I saw how they could operate. And it did not happen at all in the 5-on-3. And that little soft touch pass I saw that ended up being picked off right in the middle of the slot, just absolutely disappointing. And I don't like it one bit whatsoever. Talk about a lack of retribution in this game and by this team overall. And Sean, just the one thing I mentioned earlier, the Florida Panthers with a 2-goal lead put the puck on the net, then crash the net hard and start their own scrum 1-on-4. Where's that type of energy? Where's that type of effort? Where's any of it from the Nashville Predators? Where is the retribution?
Oh, and when they started that scrum, they came up from the ice smiling. And I think that's the thing that should have, if nothing else, sent you over the edge to realize that this team's taking advantage of your kindness here.
And they're having a good time doing it, too.
Oh, and they loved it. They were whenever I see, and I'll tell you, when I see Forsberg involved in something like that, he's laying on the ice, smiling, laughing, it gets me fired up, because I'm like, you know what? They're out there, they're running the game, they know what they're doing, they're having a good time. And when you see another team do that, like you said, started their own scrum, come up from the ice, smiling, laughing, oh, that's got to be frustrating for the guys on the ice. But I'll tell you what, that is the result of what you've seen over the past couple of games. And we go back to the Niederreiter and Saros situation. Yeah, Olivier checked Niederreiter really hard into the bench and ended up, you know, with a little scuffle with Paquette. But then, you know, toward the end of that game, you saw Josi lose his composure and take a rare flagrant penalty that came from a place of frustration. And as far as I can tell you with Josi, you know, that frustration comes from being taken advantage of. And when your other team gets to take a free shot on your goalie and barely pay any price, that team's going to keep taking advantage. And so you look at last night, you talked about it, Mosh talked about it. Radko Gudas had two solid, clean hits on Josi. We're not going to say that they were dirty hits. Yeah, they were hard. But if roles had been reversed, we would have loved it. And Josi's retaliation disallowed that goal. And I said just before this, Josi's frustration comes when teams are taking advantage. And you and Mosh both said Gudas' hits were clean, but that wasn't why Josi was frustrated. Right before all of that, Gudas had another hit, a late hit on Mikael Granlund. Granlund was not happy about it, but no one came to his defense. No one offered any recourse for the late hit. And a few seconds later, he crushed Josi twice, and Josi'd had enough. And here's the thing. If someone engages Gudas in combat after that hit on Granlund, He's not out there to hit Yossi. He's not out there to hit Yossi again. And he's not out there for Yossi to get frustrated with and to slash. And that goal happens, and it doesn't get called back, and the game is tied.
Sean, that's a brilliant and astute point. I missed the Granlund hit. I did see it. I recognized it. But I didn't realize the continuation and how it affected what came after that. That is an absolutely great point to make and wrap up our conversation this morning. I wish we had more time because there are other topics I want to talk to you about. But we've got plenty of shows, and whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, we will be here in the trenches to talk about it. And Sean, continue with this analysis, continue with this intel, because regardless of the team's record, there are going to be topics to discuss, and we're going to have to help this fan base work through what I think is going to be a very difficult time. So at SCSOTF is how you find him on Twitter. You definitely should be following him. Even Greg Pogue has given you a follow recently, Sean, so I appreciate that. I appreciate the fellows over here recognizing your work as we do here in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Sean, I hope you have a fantastic next couple of days. I'll be talking to you again very soon.
I'll be ready to go when you need me.
Sean C. Smith right there from On the Forecheck. I truly enjoy his analysis and his intel that he brings throughout the day. I got to hit a break real quick. I got to get Brian Bastin. I've frozen him out a couple of times now recently, and I got to get to him. So I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio, and you know it.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Colton Sissons bringing us back from break. Good to see him get on the score sheet last night. He had other opportunities. Wish he could have converted. Wish the Nashville Predators would have done a lot of things better. You're hosting Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. You heard from Sean C. Smith. You heard from Mastrodamus. You heard from the Ultimate One. I don't know if he's got a big stat or a big rant. I don't know what he's got, but let's kick it over to the Renegades Analytics Desk and hear from Brian Bassett. Good morning, Brian. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, like you said, I'm not sure if I got a number. I covered the game last night, and what I saw was very, very interesting. You know, you guys have covered it pretty well, talked about the events of the game. You know, Sean just broke down a really crucial moment in the entire outcome. I mean, they could have, again, there were two goals called back, and it was a one-goal game. Nashville could have very easily walked out there and stolen a win. And again, when the players came out to talk to the media after the game, neither Philip Forsberg or Victor Arvidsson had very much they could say, and there was not a lot of questions that we could ask because, you know, what else do you ask a team that has done the same thing over and over and over again, and what kind of answer do you think you can give? And I felt for the players just a little bit. I mean, they are professional athletes, and they're getting paid a whole lot of money. But, you know, what do you do? You're in an arena that's 10% full, 20% full. You can't start a game to save your life. And then you come agonizingly close at the very end of the game to actually keep you know, winning, walking out of there. But there's something about it that just doesn't sit right with me because this team just turns it on sometime in the second period, maybe early in the third period, and they look like a team that's doing everything right. And I watched yesterday very closely to see what was going to be that thing that turned the team around and got them going. And it's not one thing. I can't figure out what it is. Is it that they realize that they're behind and they really push? Is it coaching decisions where Hines has noticed what the opponent's doing and makes those adjustments on the fly, and all of a sudden this team knows how to exploit the defense? I don't know. And so when I looked for one big stat to kind of explain what that is, I couldn't find a single thing. It's not always the same line that does it. It's not the same player that has a good game or a bad game. It's a mystery. It really is. And so, again, I felt for the players. Some people would ask, what happens? Why is this happening? Why does this keep happening? But there's, you know, you can watch the game. You can look at the spreadsheets, whatever you want to do. You can play the game. There's nothing continuous about what other than the fact that it keeps happening and they keep losing. There's nothing really that's the same. And so I invite everybody to watch and see what they can figure out, because I'm almost at a loss because I don't know how this keeps happening, but it does. So until then, we'll keep watching. I'm there on Saturday again. Same team, same arena. We'll see if the same thing happens or if this team learns from the mistakes. And that's the game that turns it all around.
Appreciate you so much. That's Brian Baston from On the Forecheck. That was one big rant instead of one big stat. Look what you've done, Nashville Predators. You broke the ultimate one. Brian Baston is sad, and Sean C. Smith is enraged. Mostradamus, I don't know what to do with him right now. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Turn this thing around, fellas. Stick taps, love, respect. We'll see everybody in the trenches again real soon.